For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grandhopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous and talented little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog, and the Banta Blender. Hello, Bean.
Howdy, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, if I was Gail, I would say you're ingenious.
Did you mean to lob such a lofty compliment, Ronnie?
Padma shows up like overly happy today. This Top Chef episode is beautiful. But before we get to that, shilling.
Happens
live once a month, all throughout the year 2019. For tickets, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you can get some merch, some wine glasses, some pint glasses, some t-shirts. You know, guys, lots of stuff over there. And what else, Ben?
Did you mean to shill our podcast so hard? What else?
Did you mean to leave shills in this soup? Because they're very crunchy.
I have to say real quickly that something, this is just pure straight up. I guess it's not really meant to be a brag, but it could be read as a brag. But I was very excited because last night when I was watching Top Chef, one of our listeners, Josh Jeb, or Jeb. I assume it's Jeb since it's G-E-B, and normal English pronunciation of an E, a G before an E is Ja. Josh Jeb posted that we were mentioned in the Daily Mail. Watcher Crappens has arrived. We were mentioned in the Daily Mail. There was an article. Did you see this, Ronnie?
Well, I saw that we were in there, but when I clicked on it, there was like a pop-up ad or something, and I couldn't figure out how to read it, because I'm a papa. I don't understand how to do that shit.
You're like, I don't know what to do with all this, okay. There was an article in the Daily Mail talking about how Real Housewives of New Zealand is totally and utterly canceled, which is, yeah, yes. And it was basically like, the Real Housewives of New Zealand is canceled despite the fact that it has found high-profile fans in the United States, including Lena Dunham, Heather MacDonald, and the podcast Watch What Crappens. So
Lena Dunham?
Yeah, I know you have a relationship with Lena Dunham in that you seem to have a love-hate, sort of hate. I can't tell where you stand with Lena Dunham at any moment, but we are now linked with her in mass media.
I have no complaints for the moment. I take Lena Dunham day by day. You know, she's like alcoholism. You just make it day by day.
Well, but what was also really cool was they pulled quotes from the interview that we did in the New Zealand in that publication, which I'm blanking on the name of it right now off the top of my head. Sorry.
It's the spinoff.
Yeah. Thank you. So what was very cool for me was they pulled my quote where I said something like, they have to bring it back because Angela Stone is reality TV gold. And it says, Ben said, I was like, oh, are we on a first name basis? Daily Mail.
But what that was quote's going to be on buses all over the city.
And then they showed a giant picture of Angela Stone and they put my quote again in bold underneath it. I was like, oh my God, I've never had my quote pulled for a caption before in an online publication. So I was just like,
well, you know, Angela's sitting in a pile of leaves in some park throwing them up in the air like, yeah, I creatively visualize that.
Well, I was walking into every room in my apartment saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived. Chic, c'est la vie. C'est bon. C'est bon." I was really living my moment.
Oh, well, congratulations. You are very good with quotes. You can't quote me because it's like a paragraph long and there's too many ellipses.
I'm not good with quotes because I say like all the time. And that's just a general apology to people who listen to this show. I'm sorry that I say like all the time. I can't help it.
I don't care. Like, what else are you supposed to say?
Not like. Well, here's the thing. It's technically, it's okay to say like. And I say this based on the linguistics class I took freshman year of college, where my professor said, you know what? There's always going to be a word like that comes into language. People need those filler words. And it's just the way linguistics works. So I know that the linguistics community is behind me, but I think that the listener, it's still annoying to hear like all the time.
Well, guess what? I'm not like apologizing, all right?
I'm not like, all right. It's like, okay. Like.
And guess what else I'm not apologizing for? Shitting in the woods.
Whoa.
There, I said it. No, I'm just kidding. Does a bear shit in the woods?
Night?
No, but that's all I could think of is, does a bear shit in the woods? Because all the bears on this show go to the woods to cook in the snow. And I don't know why, but that dad saying just kept coming in my brain. Not coming into my brain. God, what the hell? It's Friday.
Coming into your brain, the dad saying. You don't understand pop-up ads.
Does
and
a
you're
bear
now saying
in the woods?
You know, I actually have never heard that saying before. Maybe because I'm just too
you
young.
You haven't?
No.
If the question was, does Ben say like a lot? Is Ben sorry for saying like? Does a bear shit in the woods?
See, I would normally go the big business route of, is a frog's ass watertight?
Well, there is a little big business in here. I don't know if you got it, but there is some coming up soon. So hold tight, everybody.
Oh, I'm excited. So Top Chef. Yeah, let's talk about this week's episode.
Did you mean to make me so happy today? Padma comes in and she's just all smiles and love today. I don't know what drug she switched to, but I was expecting more of an angry Padma.
Well,
we've missed a couple of Top Chef episodes on this show because of, you know, holiday break and all that stuff. And, you know, there have been a couple episodes where Padma's like, did you mean to make me disgusted and want to kill myself and you and everybody around me? It's like, whoa.
Pass this to Gail.
The Gail bitch disposal.
Yeah. Well, you know, they are in Colorado, and there's certain recreational drugs that are legal in Colorado that only just recently became legal here in California.
Yes, but I think that's what usually makes her so tired. Because, like, let's face it, that's not an upper drug. You have that, and it's like, did you mean to give me a free Domino's pie because I filled out all of my little pizza square things?
Maybe she just had her first Big Cat, you know? Like, the Kit Kat that's, like, instead of, like, a four little Kit Kats, it's one big Kit Kat. It's like a Kit Kat Voltron. They all came together to make one big one. She's like, oh, I didn't know they made these. I'm so happy now.
Yeah, that much sugar in that tiny little body probably does feel like cracky crack.
She probably loves a wafer.
Did you mean to excite me with a vanilla wafer? So last week, Tyler, one of the bears, left. And I was so sad because I felt like Bruce should have gotten sent home. And he didn't get sent gotten. You see? That's where we're at today.
I feel like Bruce is like favored son status for some reason. Like he's a known chef. I was actually looking at lists of top restaurants in the city over the break. And one of them was, Union in Pasadena. And there was a big old picture of Bruce. I was like, that's Bruce. He's known.
Yeah. And they're
gets
like,
pictures
well, we
and
can't
things.
Keep Tyler over that guy, you know, even though he could have gone home easily. And also, I just like Tyler because the last challenge was cook from your heritage or whatever. And he's like, I don't have any heritage, okay? I'm like a white guy from, where's he from? From like Connecticut.
Southern California.
Oh,
no, well,
from Southern
California. He's from Southern California with some vague Swedish roots. So he attempted some sort of Scandinavian thing and just fell on his face.
Yeah.
And the judges were all like, listen, you're from Southern California. Your heritage does not have to go back 100 years. You could just say you were raised in Southern California and bring Southern Californian flavors. But he even then was probably like, ugh.
Yeah.
Punk rock.
Yeah. Wasn't that Bruce?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it was Tyler.
Tyler used to be in a punk rock band. Bruce was definitely not in a punk rock band.
I thought
he was
he
probably
was.
Like an oboist.
The oboes. He's like the trombone guy.
Played viola. He was in a one-man band that he was in a one-man quartet of oboe, viola, trombone, and like tambourine.
Oh, so speaking of Bruce, he opens because he was on the bottom, obviously, last week. So he's all sad. And he's like, these kids and their wacky new ingredients and techniques. Yeah. Whatever happened to ketchup? Huh? Hey, whatever happened to some good old roast beef?
Whatever happened to the milkman, the Bruce? Bruce is simple ingredients everywhere you go, every food you cook. Bruce is keeping it back to basics.
It's like the worst sitcom ever. It's like, here's a sitcom. Of a big greasy haired guy just sitting down all the time and kind of whining.
Bringing it back to basics. Like, hey, Dad, what's going on? Oh, nothing. I decided to make just a simple tomato sauce. Bring it back to basics. I really learned my lesson.
And then Bruce pulls out his trombone.
That's a terrible, terrible sitcom. I'm sorry.
And then Brother says, for the first time out of 20, he's like, this is emotional terrorism. And he really likes that because he just repeats it over and over again.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying. For some reason, I really dislike Brother Luck.
I just don't like when people make up their names and they're like that. You know? Like, why doesn't anybody name themselves like John?
Yeah, I don't like names that are titles, you know? Like, Brother Luck is like, brother is a title in this case, I imagine. If it's not a title, then it's just like way too on the nose. Like, oh, you are going to be a brother to someone, so you're therefore your name is brother. It's just, I don't like it.
Yes.
It's like naming your child Mister.
Father Lucky.
Yeah.
Brother Luck. It just seems like too much. It's like naming yourself Tinkerbell or like, hi, I'm Genie from Aladdin. Like, stop giving me positive vibes from your made-up name, okay?
Yeah. I don't like it. It's emotional terrorism, Brother Luck.
Yeah, Bruce has been emotionally terrorized. So he's like, I'm making a list, and I'm going to tell this stuff to myself every day. Don't wash your hair. Don't comb your hair.
Don't chef it up. Stop chasing after that little plumber.
Stop being so good and misunderstood. Stop being afraid of your roots. Stop holding yourself back from winning everything. Like, yeah. And Brother Luck's like, oh, yeah? Well, I just look in the mirror every day and said, you have pride, Brother Luck.
That works too. So then the Jonah Hill guy, whose name is Joseph, I believe, he's one of the surviving bears. He and Bruce are getting ready for the day, and they're like, let's try not to be in the bottom. And then Jonah Hill guy goes, bears don't bottom. And then they crack up. And I was like, okay, that was well played. That was well played. But not true, but well played.
I like that they're, you know, it's like they're, what do you call that when you, oh, they're appropriating things in a cute way.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a great way of appropriating. I like that was like an example of straight guys taking on gay culture in a way that's so adorable.
Yeah, they're like having fun with it, you know? They're not like leather strapping each other to chairs and peeing on each other. Like, they're not taking it too far, you know?
Yeah, because that would be too far.
Yeah, that would be too far.
On Top Chef. It's too much for Top Chef.
Too many cameras. So they go to the kitchen for their quickfire challenge. But wait!
There's a twist!
Kwame, Leanne, and Claudette with her Claire's glasses are there. And Brother's like, wait a minute, they're cooking already. What could this mean?
By the way, speaking of Claire's glasses, I tried to make a pun to you about two or three times last night, and you kept walking away, and I finally gave up on making the pun to you.
What were you saying?
So Ronnie and I were at Leah Black's house last night. She had like a little party thing, which was really lovely and adorable. We got to see some of our podcast community, like Heather McDonald and Ross Matthews and his co-host CJ and
Julian Brandy
and Jeff Engage, etc. So there was this entire tray of eclairs, and I, like, you were standing right by me, and I go, I'm like, hey, Ronnie, where do you think Leah got these? From Eclair's Boutique. But then, like, when I landed the punchline, you had, like, walked away. So I was like, okay. So then I did it, like, another time. And the thing is that, like, I think CJ heard me all three times. So it just got sadder and sadder.
I'm so sorry, but whenever I get around Eclair's, my brain just turns to mush. I'm like, do I eat these all here? Do I try and fit some of these in my scooter when no one's looking? Like, how do I take this entire tray of eclairs? Like, you can't, just don't ever speak to me around eclairs.
They're eclairs, not eclairs. Eclairs makes it sound like it's like the electronic version of Eclair's Boutique. Did you get your eclair certificate yet? No?
You can only pay Bitcoin. They're eclairs.
Eclairs.
Okay, eclairs. Okay, water.
Eclair.
Okay,
water. Eclairs. I'm sorry. I was just the president of the French club. It's just me with my experience speaking French. I just happen to know there's an accent aigu on the first E, but that's just fine. That's fine. You can just shame my pronunciation.
No, what I'm do not going to accent
I'm just some
you.
Vain old French club legend.
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Does an eclair shit in the woods? Leanne Locken arrives to settle this all down. He's like, all right, there's a fine watch of crap, and I'm going to be the referee. All right, you, say what you got to say.
Eclair's charity world is over.
So anyway, so the chefs walk into what they think is a quick fire, but guess what? It's the chefs from Last Chance Kitchen cooking.
Welcome to Last Chance Kitchen Competition. Wow. You guys would have known about this had you had internet access where you live, but we can't do that because people just keep Googling recipes. So, you know, here we are cooking.
Yeah. You know, no offense to you guys, but some of the best food we've had so far has been right here in LCK. I'm like, listen, Tom, like, yo, don't make it a thing. Okay, like, I respect Last Chance Kitchen. Occasionally, I will watch it. I think you guys do a great job with it. Don't LCK this shit, okay? You're not KFC and you're not Guy Fieri. It is Last Chance Kitchen. This is Top Chef. We speak in formalities. It is not. Don't give me some LCK.
Welcome to KFC. Welcome to TLC, KFC, AMC. Love their movies. And FEMA's like, I'm pooping my pants. And guess what brother says? This is emotional terrorism. Brother, how did you get on this loop? Please stop it, okay?
Well, that's hilarious. That's like Louis C.K., or as I call him, LCK. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Shouldn't talk about that guy right now. Give him some time to dry off over there. So Marcel is there. And, of course, Marcel, I love that Marcel's just always wanting to improve himself. You know, that says a lot about a person. And that he's showing up with 5-man buns instead of one. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and they were all tucked in the back. It was like he had like a – it's like, you know, when you see like a mama monkey and she has like a whole bunch of like little baby monkeys on her back? That was what his man buns were doing on back of his head.
Yes, he's named after Marcel the monkey, and so he copies monkey hair. And I'm down, you know. Know your brand, Marcel.
We should
go
to his restaurant, by the way.
Man buns. Well, that's just so many man buns.
But it's so close to you. It's like – it's practically around the corner from you.
Well, so is everything. So is church. You think I'm going to go walk in there every Sunday? No.
Maybe.
I'm not going to things just because they're close.
Well, now that West Hollywood Jesus is dead, someone needs to take his place.
He died?
Yeah, he died 2 days ago. Did you hear?
No. Guess not. God, thanks a lot for just ruining my day.
Yeah, the Jesus guy died.
Oh my God, those of you don't know, his job is open.
Yeah. There's this guy who would walk around West Hollywood every single day in like a long flowing robe, and his hair was long. He looked like Jesus. People would call him Jesus, like Hollywood Jesus. And he had some notoriety here in the city, and he made his way into some pop culture things. Anyway, this is my way of saying you have that monk's robe, so I kind of think this is your moment.
Yeah, I'll be like Hollywood monk.
Yeah.
So what did he die of? How did he die?
No idea.
Did he die of pooping my pants? I'm pooping
in
my pants.
I think they said brief illness.
Oh, poor guy. Bless you, brother.
Bless
you. Not you, brother Luck. He's like, that's emotional terrorism.
Yeah. So anyway, they're all cooking. So essentially, it's Claudette, as you mentioned. Claudette versus Kwame versus Leanne. Leanne Wong from season one. I feel like this is unfair, and I'll tell you why. Leanne Wong, for many years on the show, I don't know if she, obviously not this season, but for many, many years, she was someone who was on the team that would design the challenges or test the challenges, make sure that they would work. Like, so she has an extraordinary amount of experience. It seems almost unfair that she's in there.
Well, maybe they handicapped her by making her get knocked up before she came.
Yeah.
They're like, you're too good. Be at least 3 months pregnant by the time you come back, or it won't be fair.
Could be. It could be. But by the way, I really liked Kwame's longer hair. It's a small comment, but I really liked it.
Oh, Kwame, he's so sweet.
He's so cute. He's so cute.
So Leanne does our favorite thing where she's like, hi, I'm pregnant. I'm making something a pregnant lady would make. Pregnancy food for pregnant people. Because I have a living thing inside of me. I'm like, okay, Megan King Edmonds, calm down
over
there.
Did you? Yeah, exactly. She mentioned that she was pregnant about 25 different times in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. And Fatima's like,
Fatima.
Pregnant women are the worst. She has crazy prego power. Pregos are no joke. I love that girl.
Yeah, I love her too, and I hope she's doing well, because I don't know if you heard, I believe she's actually in a cancer battle right now.
She is?
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like just going to just bring down every single time.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I will go to that church up the street. What the hell?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I actually really like her a lot, and her food looks delicious. So I'm hoping that she's good. She's already undergone 4 rounds of chemotherapy.
She has Ewing sarcoma.
Oh, it's Ewing sarcoma. It's a type of bone and soft tissue cancer. Oof.
Oish, God, our heart goes out to you, okay, lady? Jeez.
Yeah, stay strong. We'll rally. We're gonna rally the Crappens universe your way. We will. Anyway,
so
we'll still make fun of you,
of
by
rally,
the way,
yeah,
if necessary.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry in advance.
The good news is that we really like you too.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I love that girl. I'm pooping my pants. I'm gonna say that a million times this season. So yeah. Luigi is like, well, you know, Mario, out of all these people to come back here, I hope it's Leanne, because she's a girl, I can take her.
Wait, who's
probably get
that
kidnapped? No, he's just like, I can take Leanne, I get her flavors.
Luigi,
I call that mustache guy.
Yeah, Joe, the handlebar dude. That's, you know, the reason why I was having trouble with that is because I earlier made a reference to Bruce being in the Super Mario universe, being Wario. So that's why I was like, wait, is he referring to Bruce but mistaking it? No, it was my fault. Yeah, I mean, we have two members of the Super Mario universe here, and Tom sort of looks like he could be in it. So we're building a team here.
Yeah, Tom's like when the shells come off the turtles.
That's so accurate. It's ridiculous. That is like a ridiculous. And as much as I love Gail, she might be a Goomba. You know,
Gail, did you mean to fall into a fire pit?
Gail, did you mean to walk sideways and get stepped on? People, be careful of that pipe. There are a lot of Gales coming out of it. Padma's obviously the piranha plant. Did you mean to try to go down my pipe? Oh, look at me, looking to the angle this way and then looking that way. I'm going to spit a fireball.
If I had a nickel for every time someone tried to come down my pipe. So Claudette is making... She's like, okay, hi, Tom. Do you like my glasses? Here's what I'm going to make. Pica di ortadella! Yeah. Aaron Sanchez. Buenos dias, compadres. Yes, I worked very hard on it.
Yeah. So Tom starts tasting everyone's.
By the way, I'm sorry we didn't say this is called Cook Your Guts Out, because they're cooking like guts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kwame's cooking like a heart, and Leanne, is doing liver. And I actually don't even know what Claudette was making, to be honest. I just told you.
Pica di ortadella!
I love how you gave her Deco voice.
Yeah, because she's really leaning into the pronunciations, which, you know, I love. And Tom's like, look, well, you know, I'm being very serious right now, which is why I pulled out these glasses. So
Claudette's like, where are my glasses? Oh, Tom took them.
When did Truman Capote start judging this competition? I was like, well, you know, sorry to tattletale on everybody in my book, but you know how it goes.
Well, you know, I'm going to eat this in cold blood. I need to read the fine text on this liver sauce here. Hmm? Okay. Well, no, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Whoa, whoa. Mm. Wow.
Oh, that was really good. Whoa, wow. I think this is too good to taste. I think I'm going to have to call someone else in to help me out with it. And so that's what Tom says. And then in walks Padma, and she's holding a chef's uniform, but she doesn't actually taste any of the food.
Yeah, I'm like, she comes in with this curly hair. I don't know what the fuck is up with her today, but she's like, hello, chefs. I'm like, who are you? Please get that fucking smile off your face. Her curls are bouncing up and down.
It took me 45 minutes, but I finally figured out how to fold this outfit. I'm just so proud of myself right now.
It's like a fitted sheet. Am I right, guys? It's like, why are you making jokes?
I used bounce to make it extra soft. Sort of reminds me of Gail.
Poor Gail. So Tom's like, guys, you all were awful forward, which is like, everything other business forward is like the worst thing to say. Yeah. And then when he eats Claudette's, he's like, Claudette, that might be a little anchovy forward. Like, do you just want to say forward?
Kwame, it's a good dish, but you know, use some small bowls, and I think you could have used like a larger plate. Really needs some, those hearts, they need some space to breathe. Yeah. It was sort of very claustrophobic forward.
It was very bowl forward. So
very bowl forward. Looking for more of a plate forward. That's what we call it, plating, not bowling. I mean, bowling's a whole different thing. Bowling for Columbine, that's also in Colorado. It all comes together.
I'm going to switch from my smart Tom, take off these glasses, and I'm going into Wacky Tom. Everybody ready for the change? Everybody ready? Okay, Kwame.
But by the way, I have to say, when Padma walked out, I hope you also notice how everyone gave her stink eye. They're like, ugh.
Yes. You know Padma's awful. Like, there's no way that Padma's
know that.
Just like
I,
a nice
no,
person.
I don't accept it. Don't accept it.
I reject every story awful. I've heard.
We've heard, Ronnie and I have heard some inside baseball stories about her, and they were hilarious, and I also refuse to accept that she's a terrible person.
I accept it. I think that's why she works on the show, you know? My mom was like,
I love her.
When I was watching it with my mom, she's like, she's still on. Ugh. I was like, wow, you really hate Padma. She's like, yeah, stupid. I was like, well, you don't even watch this show. It's like my mom hates her from like Food and Wine magazine or something.
I will just forever love Padma and Gail. I just cannot help it. I could hear the worst things about them, and they're just two of my favorites of all time.
I will never hear anything bad about Gail, because if someone starts, their throat will be punched and they will never get to finish it. Okay. I love Gail Simmons.
It's kind of funny that we love Gail Simmons so much, and yet the chances we've had to ever talk with her, we've not really taken it. Like, I don't want to have lunch
with her. Like, when I'm not, you know, if I had like my three people at dinner, my fantasy dinner, like, Gail wouldn't be there necessarily, but I really like her. She's a nice girl.
I think Gail might be there. She might be there.
No, she won't, because she'll be like, well, you know, there's something about this crunch that I just can't get behind. I'll be like, shut up, Gail. Just eat your food, okay? You don't have to talk about every goddamn tortilla strip that you put in your mouth, Gail.
So it's time to judge, and it comes down to Tom. There are three people, and so first he goes, Kwame? Sorry? No? He won't be going forward. And then Padma just turns, so Kwame's like, oh, because he always looks like, Kwame always looks like someone just stole his toy, you know? So he goes and sits down, and Padma just turns to him and goes, sorry, Kwame, I was really looking forward to having more of your food.
I was really looking forward to watching Gail slop your food all over her dress again.
Remember that time she tried to lick her plate and spilled all the bechamel on her chest? That was hilarious. Classic Gail. But I was just like, wait, what do you kick him when he's down? He's like, oh, I just got eliminated.
Yeah, brother's like, this is emotional terrorism. And then they kick him again while he's down because everybody else is in. Tom's like, you know what? You know what my gut says? I'm like, oh, God, Tom's on tour. My gut, this gut's challenge. Wow, raw livers. That's what my gut's saying. I just ate raw hearts. So I'm going to go have the poops. So everybody else, you can stay. You're both back. Wow, look at that.
Since I just had Kwame's raw heart, I'm going to quote Bonnie Raitt and have a heart. And you guys both in. Yeah.
Leanne's like, well, technically three of us are still in because I'm pregnant. They're like, we know.
And then Carrie Baird, the smiley one from Colorado, or who lives in Colorado, is like, well, surprise. Surprise. Always surprises. These motherfuckers are back in the competition.
And Padma's like, huh, I only brought one jacket. I'm like, who are you? Stop this. Stop this nonsense.
I'm going to cut in half like King David. Or was it King Solomon? I don't know. Here, snip, snip.
Who's that angry skinny girl who bleached her hair? And she's like, you guys better be scared because someone's coming back. I mean, not me, because I totally lost this thing, but I still get to talk from the sides. It's like, shut up.
She's like, oh, I love her.
She kept, like, heckling people.
That's Jennifer from Philadelphia. She used to work at Le Bonardin. So she was really, really great, and then she made it really far her first season, and then her second season she was, like, crazy and flamed out, and now she's just, like, the batty old lady in the corner, even though she's probably younger than us.
You guys, watch out! Y'all gonna die. So, yeah, Carrie's like, wow, great. And Tom goes, well, you know, that was an on-the-fly decision, so Padma has to go find more coats, which is... I mean, that's hilarious. It's a good twist, right, guys? Anyone? Raise your hands.
On the fly decision. Guess what? Your next challenge, you're going to go fly fishing. Guess it? Get it? No, just kidding. You know what? Top Chef is just like camping. They're both intense. Huh? Like? So we're going to go camping. Actually, I think it was Padma who's like, chefs, there'll be no quick fire this week. Instead, you're going to be going camping. Not glamping, camping.
And she does it with this arm expression, did you notice? Like, she crossed both of her hands like she's presenting something like, wow, you're going camping. It's time for a little kumbaya. Like, I'll have what she's having, okay? And Tanya's like, ugh.
Yeah. I hate camping. You know that Carrie was like, I'll just keep smiling. I'll keep smiling even though they brought back two people and I gotta go camping this motherfucking show.
Well, Carrie's that girl who's like, I'm from here, so
yeah.
I understand camping. I love camping. I'm outdoorsy. I'm from Idaho. And then she goes, fishing, camping, the meeting. I'm like, okay, we get it. You're like normal. She
meeting. Just like takes Why are you going to the meeting?
she takes the G off everything. She's like, look, I'm country. Fishing, camping, woodsing. Tenton?
Chefs, I'm interrupting Carrie because it's Padma talk. Padma talking here. Quiet down. Chefs, for this challenge, you'll just have fire, camping equipment, and limited supplies.
Don't worry, though. You'll have Gail there in case you need someone to look stupider than you.
If you happen to come across a bear, just do what Gail does. Stand up. Bears are afraid of things that are larger than them.
So Bruce is like, wow, camping. My mind went right away to pasta. What?
Whatever, Streganona. So Padma's like, keep warm because it looks like it's going to snow. And by looks like, I looked out the window. There's already a lot of snow out there. That's my way of saying I'm about to do some cocaine. Bye.
The snow is here. No, really, hold on. Okay, you can just come inside. Can you just come inside and drop it off here?
I've just been informed that the snow is here. Get it? Snow, informer, informer. Anyone? Snow reference 20 years ago? No?
I'm going to poop my pants. So Carrie's like, whoa, it's a little late for snow. And FEMA's like, it is all snow.
Fatima, stop calling her FEMA.
Oh my, FEMA's... I'm so sorry. It's because of FEMA... how I write my words. It's how I, you know.
FEMA is a national disaster relief. Fatima is a lovely chef testant.
Fatima. Well, I wanted to stop writing down fat because I write down the first three letters of the name usually. And mm-hmm. I was writing fat down. I don't want to just keep saying fat. That's not very nice.
No. It's not.
And she's
but
not
also,
mad.
FEMA is also not very nice either. A famously inept government organization.
Hey, when does FEMA just get to be forgiven? Just kidding, guys.
Thank you, Leanne. Leanne Locken. Leanne Locken's like, hey, I'm here to talk about FEMA, but that we're discussing. No, we're talking about Fatima.
Your rescuing days are over. So they go to this camping store, and Fatima's like, ugh. Camping is not a thing in Pakistan. I don't like snow. I don't like bugs. I've never slept in a sleeping bag. Can I back out? Can I just leave?
And Leanne is like, so I just got engaged last week and I just got pregnant a few weeks before that. And here I am. Did I mention I'm pregnant and now I'm engaged?
Well, at least she's not. At least she's doing it the way MJ would always want her to do. Pregnant engaged 3 months later. That's like the Shaws of Sunset dream life.
It is.
Living right there, ma'am.
So, two, he wants to smoke his rabbit. That's his plan. But then Chris is like, yeah, I think I'm going to smoke something. And two's like, man, everyone's going to be smoking their stuff. I want to try something different. So already you know this is going downhill for him because the music's being ominous. And it's, I feel like every time two comes up with an innovative idea, it's actually terrible. So I'm like, ooh, this is not bode well for two.
Yeah. And it didn't look like it was going to bode well for Carrie either, because she's like, I'm going to make a cake in a Dutch oven, which is really a pot, not an oven. But, oh God, why would they have a Dutch oven? They don't have that. But I found little cakes, so I'm going to make little individual cakes in a fire. Maybe I'll make a hole. I don't care. Who cares? I know how to do it. I'm a local. It's snowing.
I was like, okay, she is going down a very bad path right now. Turns out I perhaps was wrong. So, they all get the, after this, like, general store that they go to, they go to their campsite and snow. That's the typical Bravo camping sequence of how do you pitch a tent? What do you do here? And Carrie's like, oh, I know what to do. You just sort of slide the pole right in here and just try to ignore the fact they brought back two chefs right now.
She's like, hey guys, I just whittled all of my kitchen utensils down from a tree because I'm a local. And that's how we do it here. Working, whittling. I'm on it.
Shoveling.
And brother's like, this shit is mad deep. Okay, brother Lack, okay. So two's like, my idea of camping is going into the jungle, killing a wild boar, and then getting drunk all day with my friends.
I think that's hunting more than it is camping, but that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, sounds fun, minus the, you know, shooting the wild boar thing.
Yeah. That's okay. I support you too, because I find two to be curiously hot.
Yeah, and I like that your name is you in Spanish.
It's like, and two, you in French.
Oh, et tu?
A two Tom.
So they're setting up a tent, and Carrie's like, I know how to do it. The stick goes in here, and then it connects to that stick. When you've got all these sticks connected, you put your thumb in the air to see where the wind is blowing, and then you stick these sticks in the crack. Anybody, am I going to get any credit for being a local? Anybody?
Claudette's like, I will. She's like, I'm going to put on my particularly pointed glasses to show my consternation.
She's like, without that girl, we'd be screwed, but I will still throw her under a snowplow later. Because that's a girl. Remember, she threw that girl under the bus last time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like Claudette. You know, I think we have an opportunity to talk to Claudette if we want to, because my friend reps her and was like, hey, do you want to talk to Claudette? So if you want to talk to Claudette, we can do that. Or if anyone wants to hear from Claudette, let us know.
Let us know. So Bruce is scared. He's like, God, this is the middle of nowhere, okay? There are real bears here. They're not just going to fart on you like Taylor. Like, these are real ones. They will eat you.
Yeah. And he's like, and I am a delicious treat for a bear. Yes. Look at me. I look like a bear snack.
I should not have put coconut oil in my hair today.
So they're cooking, and there's prepping. And then Tom shows up with Naomi Pomeroy, who you may remember from Top Chef Masters.
Oh,
she is an acclaimed chef, and my favorite story about her is that when Michelle Collins and I went on Top Chef Masters as extras, Naomi Pomeroy came over to our table, and Michelle thought she was a waitress and was like, can I get a soda? And then she's like, oh, actually, I'm actually one of the Top Chef Masters.
My question still stands, ma'am.
She brought us the sodas.
Yeah, well, good. That's a good one. I remember her from, like, yelling at her dad when they had to have their family members do the recipes from behind a wall. And she's like, God damn it!
Yeah, yes.
You just see her, like, as a little teenager again. It was so funny.
Yeah.
So, they come in, and Tom's like, whoa, I used to go camping and fishing. But, you know, in the sun. Get it? Get it? It was, like, sunny.
Like, I did it in, like, sun. A warmer climate. Yep. Yeah, I probably got some s'mores. That's a graham cracker and a marshmallow and chocolate. It's very marshmallow forward.
Curious, I hope you enjoy. That is so local of him. That is true.
She was like, I'm going to do s'mores three ways. I'm going to fry the s'more, I'm going to smoke the s'more, and then I am going to make a s'more confit. Like, two, you're doing too much.
Oh, two. So they basically get their prep done. Carrie's not really doing any. She's like, why is everybody working so hard? We have a whole day tomorrow. What are you doing? What's your favorite campfire story? Hey, anybody know how to make fire from a stick? I do.
Yeah, she has no prep to do because she's making cake. So she just has to make a batter tomorrow and then just, you know, put it in her cups.
Yeah.
Bruce, meanwhile, pulls out the guitar. I'm like, ugh, of course Bruce would have a guitar.
He's that guy.
Guitar around the campfire guy. I don't know why I hate the guitar around the campfire. I hate the idea of a guitar around the campfire, and I hate the person who brings it. I don't know why. I think it says more about me than them.
Yeah, like, you know what? Get an instrument with headphones.
Just don't do an instrument. Tell a story.
No, I don't want to hear Bruce tell a story either. Hey, Bruce, just be quiet. Over there and cook me some delicious food.
And then they did that most annoying thing, which is like the guitar blues freestyle. So Chris is like, I'm on Top Chef and I'm drinking a half because it's a lovely beer and we are here. I'm like, I can't.
Please rhyme beer with here again. Can he get some Padma? She's all furious.
I just hate it. Did you mean to have such a hokey moment?
Did you mean to rhyme Amish with Glamish? Because I don't think Glamish is a word, sir.
I don't know. We can ask Gail. She says such nonsense all the time.
Hey, Gail, would you like a bite of Glamish? Told you. She's got her fork out.
Hey, Gail, could you arrange Glamish in your alphabet soup? Thanks.
So, Carrie, of course, Fima walks out like, I'm going to kill myself and the world. Fatima, I'm sorry. I did it this whole recap, you guys. I'm so sorry. So, this whole recap, the whole page of notes is that. She's like, it's like waking up in a crypt. And Carrie goes, good morning, sunshine! Good morning!
Hello, Mr. Bird! Hello, Mr. Bear! Hello, Mr. Rabbit! Oh, shit, there's a bear here.
And she's digging a pit for her cakes. And Brother's like, she's legit MacGyver. I mean, she even has a mustache, really, if you look close enough.
Her mullet really is spectacular. MacGyver doesn't have a mustache, by the way. That's Magnum P.I.
Oh, never mind. I take it back. Oh, it's okay. Locals get that confused all the time.
Brother Love would get MacGyver and Magnum P.I. mixed up, though, so
stop
it's okay.
That is emotional terrorism. So let's see, Bruce is sitting at a table rolling the pasta with his bare hands, which, I mean, how else are you going to do it, right?
No pun intended. Bare hands.
Yep, got it. But
he's making his pasta.
I just don't see where these people have washed their hands, is what I'm saying. It's grossing me out. You're in the middle of the woods. They probably put on some of that, like, that shit they make you put on boats, where everywhere you walk in, they squeeze some gel shit, and they're like, yes, rub it all over your hand. No, gross. That's how you create the super bug.
I imagine they probably have Purell going on because they're touching raw meats, et cetera. But I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you know, they're holding raw duck, raw stuff.
Did you mean to flavor this with Purell? So he's rolling it with his hands, and he's like, whoa, I found out that the mandolin has ridges, so I'm rolling it over that, and it's making ridges. Oh, my God.
And then this giant black monolith appeared in the middle of the campsite, and they all looked up to it and were in deference, as also Sprach Zarathustra played. It was like, it was a big moment for mankind, figuring out that you could make ridges on that pasta with a mandolin.
Moses is like, does anybody have a hammer and nails? I'm putting this into stone, okay? I'm going to draw this into stone. This is an amazing moment.
Dun, dun. Ridges on pasta from the mandolin.
In a world with ridges on pasta.
It makes sense, actually, going with the 2001 Space Odyssey motif, because... Padma does sound like Hal. Did you mean to close the airlock? Hal, Dave, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. Gail is already in the catatonic state. Gail. Really? Daisy.
Okay, so where do we go? So the judges show up, and I don't even recognize Gail without a crazy pattern. I don't know how somebody couldn't find her a coat with flowers on it, or triangles that are kind of facing off with each other.
You know that Gail probably saw Bigfoot, and they all were ignoring her. She's like, guys, I just saw Sasquatch walking around. Oh, Gail. She's so inventive, that one. Take her out of her patterns, then you see the real crazy come out.
So let's see. Do you want to get to where they're eating?
First, I want to point out that Padma, I don't know why I wrote this down. They were saying how you have to look out because the snow is falling from branches. And Padma's like, I know. That's why I was wearing an umbrella before. I felt so silly. I mean, is this the way Gail feels every single day?
I felt so silly.
It's like wearing five different patterns at once. You know what I'm saying, Gail. Is that you, Gail? I can't tell in that parka.
Gail, I think the trees were aiming for you.
You ever see Lord of the Rings, the trees throw things at things? I think that's what the trees were doing to you, Gail. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, Gail,
she'll
never
learn. Gail is the Lord
of
the Rings.
Can somebody
can't keep
please,
her at a donut shop.
Can the local girl please whittle her a comb? Please, someone help Gail. SOS, Gail,
bless
am I right?
Heart. I think she got distracted doing snow angels. That's why her hair is so messy. Bless her heart.
So Joe made some squab, and this is like Big Joe, not Luigi Joe. Yeah. He made some squab, and Fatima made cacao spiced duck breast. There are so many ingredients on all of these things, and I refuse to press pause.
I know. Me too. I only put down the proteins. I was like, cause it was like cacao spiced duck breast with a shaving of pine cone and an anchovy forward habanero sauce. I don't know. So Padma's like, how was camping? And Fatima's like, it was rough. And she's like, oh, I know. That's what I always say every time Gail drags me to dress barn. Rough.
So you guys are sleeping in one of Gail's outfits. How's that going for you?
Gail, it's time for you to get out of your sleeping bag. Oh, is that your outfit for today? Never mind.
Someone take the sticks out of that tent so Gail can wear it home, please.
Does anyone have any extra s'mores? Asking for a friend.
More s'mores, am I right, Gail? Oh, if only you were to run for mayor, you'd have a tagline.
S'mores, as I call them, Gales.
Hey, does anybody have a dessert called That's Enough, Gail? Anyone?
Oh, look, Carrie made a cake in a pit in the can. Oh, I'll just pass this right down to Gail.
I'm a local! So Bruce is like, I prepared an egg yolk cavatelli. You know, I really want to get back out of how I cook. Possibly tastes like soap or dirt from under my fingernails. Hey, guess what I used? A mandolin for riches.
And then,
they're finally seasoning food. Wow.
Oh,
I mean, that's crazy.
Adrian made a quail stuffed with mustard greens and labernadan. And then Leanne, she made a goose confit I think she made liver sauce again, actually.
Yes. There was like a lot of liver sauce going on. I just have to point out that at one point when they were eating the cake, Padma's like, this is the best way to serve this cake. And Tom goes, an upside down cake? Wow. Yeah. Got
upside down, right side up.
She's like, oh Tom.
Did you hear that, Gail? Do you need me to explain it for you? See, it's upside down, but we're eating it right side up. It's sort of a play on words, Gail. Oh, bless her heart.
Gail came in today just so Gail. She's like, this pasta, the fact that he cooked it here in the middle of the wilderness. And Pat was like, close your mouth when you eat, Gail.
Gail, I'm getting some liver sauce on my sleeve. Could you close your mouth, please, before you render your critique? Thank you.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
Handlebar makes trout.
I've got so many... When it gets to this point in my notes, I'm like, where am I? What am I doing? Why am I here?
It's okay. I can all go jump back and forth. They thought Joe, by the way, they thought Joseph's, they thought his, whatever he made, elk or whatever, was a little overcooked. And because Tom's like, I like it, but it's a little overcooked. And then all the women at the table go, me too. Which I don't know why it cracked me up.
Because it's from the same fire, dum-dums. And then two's like, I made rabbit three ways, brah. And then Tom's like, whoa, two? Should have stuck to one. Wait a yeah. minute. Wait for it. Wait for it. Yep. No one's laughing.
No. By the way, I'll
bring that back later.
Chris was making buffalo chili, and like when he was cooking it the night before, he was concerned that it wasn't five star. He's like, I got to make this five star somehow. So now we finally see what he did. He's like, well, guys, I made some buffalo chili. And to really celebrate the buffalo, whatever didn't go into the chili, I grilled and put on a platter with some root vegetables. And they're all like, okay.
Yeah, just that was kind of bizarre. He just added like a side dish of more meat. That was kind of an odd choice. And the guest judge is like, I'm so confused by the blackberry relish thing on Tanya's dish. And Gail's like, I mean, you're really not sure how to eat it all. Padma's like, I believe in you, Gail.
Gail, just do what you always do. Just shovel it in your mouth indiscriminately.
Eat first, think later. Am I right, Gail?
Oh, look at Gail pretending like she actually makes choices. Bless her heart.
So Chris's meat was dry. Let's see. And the last round of dishes, Tom's like, well, my least favorite dishes are all right here on this table, right here.
Yep.
And Padma goes, I would like to see two concentrate on garnishes.
She was really on the garnish thing.
Yeah. She was on the garnish train today.
Big garnish train.
So swing, judge's table.
Yeah. Padma wants more heat in Chris's chili, she says. I don't know if this is the judge's table or not, but this is just the critiques. Gail starts saying that she really likes Chris's chili, and Padma's like, yeah, but is it enough to save him from the bottom? Gail! She literally says that.
It's like, thanks for piping in, Gail.
Gail.
So the top three are Bruce, Leanne, and Carrie. Because I wrote Bruce, Lee, and Carrie. I was like, wow, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee is not back. Only back to life, he is winning Top Chef. This is amazing.
Well, it's ironic because Carrie, at the end of Carrie, comes back to life. See?
Oh, my God. You see? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So Bruce is like, I made stuff with a mandolin. It's like, okay, please put your guitar away.
Yeah. And Carrie is like, well, you know, I mean, I suffered the indignity of you bringing two more people back to the show, and I made an oven in the snow. I mean, it's snow. Snow is not made into an oven, but I made it into an oven. I actually baked all of you people cakes, so that's what I did. But he is cool. He rolled his pasta on a ridge. That's nice. That's sort of cool, I guess. And like, yes, it is cool. Bruce wins.
Padma's like, well, your cake did keep my hands warm, so thanks.
Not all of us have a few extra layers of you know what, like Gail.
Gail's like, that sauce really got in those ridges of that pasta. She's like, everything gets in your ridges, Gail.
Gail's like, why do you always do this to me?
So Tanya, Chris, and two are in the bottom. And Tom's Padma like, you know what? Two, do one. Still no? No one's going to laugh? Still no? Okay.
Padma goes, how did this challenge go for you, Chris?
He's like, well, you know, chili, so I made a side dish of beef and, you know, like meat two ways. And
so Carrie... bad? Bad, is that what you're saying? Because it tasted bad.
So two does that thing. He's like, I know why I'm here. I was swerving on the road. I was texting and driving. I'm really sorry. It's like, stop confessing. Stop. Yeah. I just had three beers. I didn't think that was drunk. Whoa, stop confessing too, okay?
Well, and Padma asked another classic Padma question. She goes, two, were you happy with the dish? Or were you a total moron when you made it? Or do you have some common sense to know that it was a piece of shit three ways?
So, Tanya, did you mean to throw up on a dish and serve it to Gail? She ate it anyway, shockingly. But And Tanya's like, well, look, I thought the blackberry would be a condiment, and then the mushroom sauce would go with the farro. And Padma goes, oh.
It sounds like you really galed it. That's what you do when you come up with a bunch of nonsense that makes no sense to anyone. Have you seen her patterns? Bless her heart. She's so sweet. She tries.
So they talk alone in alone time, and she's like, Tanya's dish was so confusing. I need a map to eat that thing. Where was the blackberry? Are there U-turns over a double lane? What did two say about texting and driving?
And Tom's like, well, Chris's buffalo should have gone the way of the buffalo. See what I did there?
Tom is like really gearing up for a tour, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Padma goes, two lost the plot. There was no garnish. And Gail's like, yeah, you know what? We've always said since season one that one dish is better. Tom's like, yeah, if two was a drag queen, he'd be called misguided. Get it? Still no laughs? Anybody? Anybody?
I'm laughing, but I'm only laughing at the fact that Gail thought she had something important to say. Oh, bless her heart.
So Tom's like, well, you know, I'm only going to say this once. Two, you're gone. Okay? Three, you're never going to mess with me again. Okay, thanks.
And two, before you leave, just remember, garnish.
And that brings us to the end of Top Chef.
Top Chef.
Wow, what a show. What a show, people.
So before we wrap up our full week here, why don't we open up our old Crappin's mailbag, shall we?
Well, let's do it.
Crappin's mailbag is when you can ask us questions. You just go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins, and as long as you support the podcast at the mailbag level or higher, you can contribute to the mailbag.
You're in.
You did it. Here's a question from Carrie Weatherlow. Not weather high, weather low. She says, I'd like a retro Watcher Crappins Bravo flashback for Being Bobby Brown, RIP Queen Whitney. Have y'all ever recapped or Watcher Crappin danced around the wonderfulness of the beat trash reality show ever? Big love.
I love that show, but I don't remember enough to redo any of it. Do you?
That show was great. It was sort of uncomfortable to watch. It was great. It was definitely before our time. It was also at a different kind of time for Bravo. But I do remember an episode where Bobby and Whitney went to, I believe, Atlantis in the Bahamas, and people kept on saying hi to Whitney, and she was going nuts. And they went to a restaurant that was surrounded by fish. It was like a restaurant in an aquarium, and she was just, I just remember her being crazy.
The only scene I remember from that is the classic where she's constipated.
Yes.
And then she's like, well, Bobby just put his thumb up my butt, and then it all came out. I mean, that's black love.
Jingle bear.
Yeah, that's black love. that was my favorite part from there. I have a funny story about her, though, because my friend Jessica works in retail. And one day she was working, and Bobby Christina came in. And she was trying to pay with her mom's credit card. And the manager was like, I'm sorry, Whitney Houston, we're going to need to have your mom come because, you know, this is her card. And so she's like, are you serious? Because my mom's going to get mad. And they're like, no, I'm so sorry. You know, you have to have your mom do this. It's illegal for us to take it. And so she goes, 5 minutes later, Rondell, Whitney Houston swings open both of the doors, huge sunglasses on, her long fur coat like waving behind her as she, glided in. And she's like, what's this about you not taking my credit card? She's like, I almost fell down, Rondell.
Did the manager do that intentionally to drag Whitney Houston into the store, or was it truly like, no, this is just the policy?
I don't know. You never know, because stores probably did that all the time. Like, oh, this food delivery is for Whitney Houston. We're going to need Whitney Houston to come into our car to pick this food up, okay? It's the only way this is going to work. Oh my God, Whitney, it's you!
Well, my significant Whitney Houston story, which I've probably told before, is back several years ago, Prince was doing these concerts here in LA. He did 21 concerts at the Forum, and they became notorious for having many encore sets, and also a lot of local celebrities would show up and he'd bring them up on stage. So when I went, lo and behold, Prince brought up Whitney Houston. It wasn't so much that he brought her. She sort of just went up.
Yeah, I think she climbed the stage, as I recall.
Yeah, and it was amazing because the stage was shaped in the Prince symbol, you know? So you have, like, the curly stuff on one end, and then you have, like, the long – it was sort of like that long sort of shaft of his symbol, right? And that sort of created, like, a runway thing. So that was sort of, like – the band was in the curly part, and that's where Prince was singing, but there was that long area. Whitney Houston comes on stage, grabs a mic, and struts down that runway to the tip of the Prince symbol, and she just starts singing, like, this is my concert now, I'm Whitney Houston. And it was just sort of amazing, obviously, to see two icons on stage together. But the fact that Whitney Houston is probably one of the few people who could take the microphone and declare that the Prince concert, she didn't declare it, but in
yeah,
so many ways.
They had to get her off the stage. They had to kick her off the stage. She wouldn't leave.
No, she left because she hit this really bad note and she was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go. they didn't have to like yank her off. She did not stay longer than she was supposed to, but it was just amazing how she's like, I am a global superstar. I have not gone anywhere, people. I am here and this is my concert now. You have all come here to see me. I was like, that is the way a diva operates.
Yes, ma'am. And
next day she went into rehab.
Yeah. Doesn't it make you feel old that everyone we've talked about in this segment is dead? That's so sad. It seems like memories from like 20 years ago when we were youthful.
I know. At least the people from Hey Paula are still going strong.
Why doesn't anyone treat me like the gift that I am?
Yeah, Bravo, you know, they had a very brief stint with the celebrity genre that is mainly VH1's bread and butter. It was very brief. But very effective.
Yes, it will remain in our memories forever, Ben.
Let's do one more question. Hava Weber says, Hava Weber, could you do a smells like for Shep's house? Also, a smells like for the house where all of his hopefuls will be staying later this season on relationship.
Oh, Lord.
What does Shep's house smell like?
Pickles and feet.
I'm going to say PBR and THC.
I'm going to say like 5-day ball sweat and like kind of pee, but only in certain spots.
I think it smells like wrapping paper and Swanson chicken stock from a can.
It smells like an expired club sandwich that was left out for a week.
Uh-huh.
And Old Spice. I feel like Shep wears Old Spice.
Yes, he probably does. I feel like it smells like a freshly opened can of tennis balls. And also that salami that has like the little circle things in it.
Okay, so the circle things.
You know, it's like it's got like
the
olive
things
or something.
Doesn't that have
whatever those are, you know?
Are those like little green olives in there? What is that?
I actually don't know. It just,
he doesn't either,
it's like
but it's
deli
still,
meat.
You know he's still got it on sale somewhere, you know? So what is the house that they're staying in the Shep-chiller smell like?
It probably smells like rosemary and paint thinner.
I think it smells like depression and you know when you spill wine and it doesn't ever go away. It never really leaves like that, like rotten wine.
I think it smells like maybe a certain corner of Anthropology and raccoon.
I think it smells like when you wake up from sleep and wet paper towels.
I think it smells like
Car wash paper towels, not like nice paper towels.
I think it smells like the pork and apple pie I cooked last night, but like only 10 minutes into the cooking and the GameStop.
I think it smells like the restroom at Bucky's truck stop.
I feel like it smells like the anteroom at Bucky's. mixed with a bathrobe.
I think it smells like when boats have to stop and let their poop out someplace. And it's like that kind of porta potty smell on top of the poop.
I feel like it smells like the showroom of a place where you'd buy stools and also some pennies.
I think it smells like bad breath in orbits.
So neutral?
Yeah. Well, both. It's like, are you chewing bad breath orbits, or is that a flavor now, or is your breath so bad that it's actually taken over the orbits?
I think it smells like 5 minute milk breath, as in like you had milk 5 minutes ago, and that way that makes your breath smell like.
Ew.
And saltines.
Or like when you're on a protein diet and then you've done it for a few days and all you have is rotting meat in your system and you have those meat burps. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. Smells like carry-on and carry-on, like the meat, and carry-on, like what you put on an airplane.
Yeah, with meat inside of it.
It's like if you put carry-on in your carry-on, carry-on in your carry-on, that's what it smells like.
And that brings us to the end of a smells like.
Yes. That is secretly one of the most stressful segments that we ever do when we do smells like, because you have to think of so many things so quickly. It's like, oh my God, what is it? What's next? What's next?
Well, that brings us to the end of a week over here, our first week back. What a fun time, eh, Bean?
It was a great, great time. It's great to be back.
Yes.
Here.
Guys, go get your tickets for Crappens Live at watchwhatcrappens.com. Pick your city, pick your show. And go get your merch, et cetera, at watchwhatcrappens.com. We love you guys. Thanks for all the support you give us. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, and good luck to everyone who's stuck in the bomb cyclone.
Bye.
No, good luck, seriously. Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Alex, part of the team behind the Red Box Politics podcast from The Times. We're honored to have been chosen for Bose Recommends. Now, the podcast is hosted by Matt Chorley, who wanted to be here, but he's busy saying witty things on television.
What Theresa May ate at a dinner with Michel Barnier where nothing happened is not, it's been treated as if it's as big as that.
Every week, Redbox brings you the insider's guide to British politics, including contributions from Matthew Paris, Rachel Sylvester, Danny Finkelstein, David Aronovich, and Philip Collins, amongst others. Plus politicians, comedians, and spin doctors. Together they ponder, how much longer can Theresa May continue? Just how boring is Brexit? And will we get to the end of this advert without Donald Trump declaring nuclear war? In recent weeks, the podcast has heard from Tony Blair on the moment he came to power.
Were you frightened?
I was somewhat overawed, yeah.
Found out whether Donald Trump is beyond satire from Rory Bremner.
And, you know, where do you go with a character who's beyond parody?
And heard what happens when political photo shoots go wrong.
He stopped at an underwear store. One of us did kick him rather hard in the shins. Move, we said, move.
The Red Box Politics podcast with Matt Chorley lands every Tuesday. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.